Yeah. Well, really, it is all by the grace of God, truly, that I'm even here this night and being enabled by the Lord to stand up before people and preach the Word of God. If you would, take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. Let's pray. Father, all we want of thee this night is your will to be done.
Amen.
And so, Father, each word, the word that's given out this day, what is spoken by myself, what is spoken by the brother from Laredo, what is spoken by the one from the Christian Boys Ranch there, Father, we just pray that each and everything, song and testimony and preaching of the word, Lord, would bring honor and glory to your name, would be according to your will. Father, just by thy grace, intervene. Do a work that would be a lasting work that would please thyself. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we do ask this and pray. Amen.
Amen. Pray.
One time a missionary by the name of Jim Elliot used to say something. He says, wherever you are, be all there.
Amen.
Wherever you are, be all there.
Amen.
Now, if I didn't believe I had something very important to speak about this night, I wouldn't have been up here to speak. And being that I have stood up to speak this night, I believe I have something very important to say.
Amen.
So, as to that, as to you all being here now, all I'm going to ask of you would be all here.
Amen.
In other words, don't be back at the Christian Boys Ranch in mind. Don't be, out somewhere with your mind somewhere else this evening. In other words, be all here. Listen to what God has to say this night. Not so much what I have to say, but what does God's Word say? And you know, one of the most important things, I believe, is to know what God's doing. What is God doing at this time? What is the purpose of God? If there's one place I want to be, is I want to be directly in the center of His will.
Amen.
I want to be doing what God wants me to do. Because outside of that, it's all wood, hay, and stubble. It doesn't count.
That's right.
I want to be in the divine flow of His counsel. I don't want to be going against the streams of the counsels of God. I want to be flowing the way He's going.
Amen.
I want to get on the bandwagon, on His bandwagon. I don't want so much, I want God to be on my side, but more than that, I want to be on His side.
Amen.
And what I'd like to speak to you about this evening is I'd like to talk to you about what is God doing. What's the purpose of God in this age, in this time period that we live, before Jesus Christ comes back to set up His kingdom? What is God doing? And if that's what God is doing, then I want to get into that. Amen?
Amen.
Well, you know, I find a problem many times. Did you ever hear people say, what is God's will? Did you ever hear that question asked? I bet you've asked it to yourself many times. Lord, if I only knew your will, I would do it. Well, I got you over a barrel tonight because I'm going to show you exactly what the Word of God says about what His will is, what He's involved in, what He's doing right now. And if you aren't involved in what He's doing right now, then, my friend, I'm have to say that I don't think you're in the will of God. But if you're doing what He is doing, then I believe that you're in some way, you're in the will of God, at least the general will of God. But, you know, we not only have this problem in the 20th century Christianity, way back in the book of Acts, where we are, we find a bunch of Christians that handle a little bit of the same problem. As they went through Acts, they didn't know what was going on, especially the Jews. They didn't know what in the world was going on. I mean, they get down there in Acts, and they start out with Acts. It says, oh Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? In Acts chapter 1, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And all at once the Lord says, He says, well, for the times and the seasons, not for you to know. He says, but I'll tell you something, you're going to be endued with, he says you're going to get the Holy Ghost. And He says, you're going to be witnesses unto me unto the uttermost part of the earth.
Amen.
So all at once things started pumping. Acts chapter 2, they're praying. Acts chapter 1, they're praying. And all at once in Acts chapter 2, while they're in prayer, down comes the Holy Ghost and the birthday of the church starts. The church begins. But I don't wonder how many of those Jews knew what was going on. And then Peter gets up in the midst of this great thing and people are gathering around and saying, I think these folks are drunk. They don't know what's going on. And know that Peter says, no, it's that time of the day. We weren't drunk. But I want to let you know what's going on. And he preaches a message to them. And 3,000, they say, what must we do? They come under great conviction, Holy Ghost conviction. And he tells them what to do. And they were Jews, or Jewish proselytes at least. But the majority of them were full-bred Jews in Acts chapter 2. All at once in Acts chapter 8, something happened. Things start going wrong in Jerusalem, and they don't know what's going on all at once. They start, after this persecution, they have to spread abroad. And they spread abroad, and it says they go everywhere preaching the word. And here comes this old guy on the scene. His name's Philip. And Philip's an evangelist. And Philip's a preacher. And Philip goes down to Samaria and preaches Christ. And he preaches Christ, and folks are getting saved left and right. But they're Samarians. They're not full Jews. They're half Gentiles and half Jews. They don't fit in with us. What's God doing? What's God doing? All at once the apostles come down, they say, this is of God. All went over there in Acts chapter 10, we find Peter as we go along in the progression. And we find Peter, and here he is. He's laying there one day, and all at once God has to give him a vision. And in the midst of that vision, the Lord says, rise up and eat. He sees all these unclean beasts. And him being a Jew, he never touched anything that was unclean before. He says, not so, Lord. That's one of the greatest contradictions in all the world. Did you ever think about that statement? Not so, Lord? Did you ever think about that statement? You know, the Lord Jesus said over in Luke, he says, he's saying to me, Lord, Lord, why don't you do the things that I say? And the Lord said, rise up, Peter, and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord. Lots of Peters around today. Matter of fact, I think there's a lot of Peters here tonight.
Right.
I'm not going to exclude myself either. A lot of us many times, not so, Lord. Not so, Lord. God tells us something, we say, not so, Lord. We think we got it. Well, God was showing them something. God shows him he has to go to Cornelius' house. Cornelius are Gentile. They don't even got no Jew in them. And he has to go over there to Cornelius' house, and he gets down there to Cornelius' house, and he gets down and he preaches and he says, I perceive that God's no respecter of persons. Amen. And he tells them what you need to do if you want to have remission of sins is believe in Jesus.
Amen.
And all at once they believe in Jesus, and down comes the Holy Ghost, and he says, then he has to get back over there in Jerusalem, and he's getting all this persecution. What are you doing with those Gentiles? What are you doing with those dogs? What are you doing over in their house? He says, what am I, man? What am I to withstand God? They got the whole same Holy Ghost we got.
Amen.
What's going on? Well, we get all the way over again, Acts chapter 15, and they still know what in the world's going on. All at once we have Jews, mainly just Jews saved. Then we have half-breeds saved, Jews and Gentiles, Samaritans. And then all at once over there in Acts chapter 10 is just Gentiles. And every one of them is saved. Everyone's in the church of God.
Amen.
And he says, I perceive that God's no respecter of person. I want to let you know this night that God is no respecter of person.
Amen.
And he hasn't excluded you.
Amen.
God is no respecter of person. What's going on? Lord, what are you doing? Well, they get down and they have a big meeting. Acts chapter 15. Paul goes out around before this time in Acts chapter 13. At Acts chapter 10, I told about Peter there, the instance with Peter and Cornelius, the Gentiles. When Acts chapter 13, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, and the work Grandchild called them. And off they go. And I mean they have a revival. They got a Holy Ghost revival. Wherever they go, they're preaching and folks are getting stirred and people are getting saved and the king wants to hear what's going on about all this stuff. And folks are getting saved and Gentiles are getting saved left and right. But there's a bunch of these people and they're called what we call maybe you learned this in Bible school or something. I don't know what they call them, but they call them Judaizers. But anyway, a bunch of Jews, and these Jews said, uh-uh. You don't get saved doing that stuff like that. You don't get saved by just believing the gospel. You get saved by putting yourself back under the law of Moses. Moses is the man of God. Moses has the right, has given us this prescribed way. And Paul and Barnabas are saying, no way. These folks are getting saved by just believing the gospel word, the message that God. And he says, Paul says, the message I got is not the one I myself have made up. I've received it from the Lord of glory himself. And I preach the gospel of the glory of God.
Amen.
The gospel of the grace of God.
Amen.
I preach that gospel that save any man who believe it. I preach that kind of gospel. And I got that gospel from Jesus Christ himself.
Amen.
What you
Amen.
So? But the Judaizers said, oh no. We're going to have to talk this out. So down they go to the big Jesus. Down into Acts they go. Down back to Jerusalem. They go back to the big center of Judaism itself. And back they go. Now I'm giving you a background here. I want to build a background before I spring off into the pool. I'm building a background here so I want you to understand. I'm giving you a background so you have a little bit of understanding where I'm going to come from then. They're wondering what is going on. Is what Paul's ministry going to the Gentiles and preaching the gospel, the grace of God, and these Gentiles coming to Jesus Christ and being saved, being transformed, is that of God? And if it is of God, then we need to follow in it.
Amen.
Amen.
And they want to find out what's going on. So all at once they get down there. And Acts chapter 15 and verse 1. Like I said, this is just background. And I realize I only have a short time this evening. But once Brother Kincaid waves his hand, then I'll just sit down. And how far I get, as far I get, that'll be fine with me.
I'll hold him down, brother.
Acts chapter 15. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Now there's two false teachings here that they need to deal with. And the first one is that man can do something to get saved. You can do something in order to be saved. That's what they're saying. Except you be circumcised. If you don't get circumcised, you can't be saved. Now a lot of people think they just apply this to, you know, back then. The Judaizers after the first, second century, they died off. I want you to know something. There's a whole bunch of Judaizers been going all the way through the church age and they're around today.
Amen.
A whole bunch of them. I mean, there's people all over saying, except to be baptized, you can't be saved. Over here, except to join the church, you can't be saved. Except to come all the way, you can't be saved. Except to follow the golden rule, you can't be saved. Unless you keep the law of Moses, you can't be saved. Sounds just like them, doesn't it?
Amen.
Except ye do it our way, you can't be saved.
That's right.
I don't want to go man's way. I want to go God's way.
Amen.
We're going to find out what God's way is. That's why they're down here. They want to find out, God, what you doing? God, what you doing? Lots of people like that. Well, not only do they have to worry about that problem, there's another false teaching. Verse 5. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Not only that the first false teaching was that you need to do something in order to be saved, but the second false teaching was you need to do something in order to keep saved.
Right. Amen.
That's two false teachings. I want you to know, well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that when we get next. I'm going to show you from right here in the Word of God that all he says is that you need to believe the gospel. When you believe the gospel, that's all she wrote. Once you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, his finished work is applied to your life, and there is nothing else
Hallelujah.
To it.
Amen.
You'll never lose it, and you can't lose it. You don't have to keep anything else. He keeps you. You're kept by the power of God.
Amen.
You're kept by the power of God. But that's two false teachings they have to deal with here. There's two false ones. One, I got to do something in order to be saved. And the other one is I have to do something in order to keep saved. And those two false doctrines have gone all the way to this present
That's
day.
Right. Amen.
Look around, professing Christianity this night. I want you to know we can go to church after church in San Antonio. We can go to church after church in Texas. We can go to church after church in the United States of America. We can go to church after church worldwide. And listen, the majority of professing Christian on this day, if we ask them what must you do to be saved, they'll say, except you do this. You can't be saved.
That's right.
And unless you keep it, you won't endure to the end and be saved.
That's right.
And both of them take away from the person and work of the Lord Jesus
Christ.
That's
right. Amen.
And it's a devil's doctrine.
Amen.
Amen.
It's a devil's doctrine.
That's right.
Well, I'm going to show you how they're teaching. I'm going to, right here in this portion, we're going to see how their teaching was wrong. Both of them.
Amen.
Every bit of it was wrong. First of all, look at verse 3. Now here's Paul and Barnabas. They come back and they're saying something. They're, and being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Pans and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all brethren. Now, something's wrong. They say you have to be circumcised. They say you have to keep the law of Moses. But here's a bunch of Gentiles, they're converted.
That's right.
They weren't circumcised. They not only didn't keep the law of Moses, they don't got the law of Moses.
That's right.
And they're converted. They're saved. They're born again. Something's wrong with the teaching. Something's wrong with these Judaizers teaching. Because what they taught it, unless you do it that way, you can't be saved. But here's a bunch of Gentiles that are saved and didn't do anything they said.
That's right.
Something's wrong. That's number one. But not only that, more important than that, it wasn't according to the working of mind of God. What they were saying in verse 1 and verse 5, what I read, is not according to the working and mind of God. Notice in verse 7. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. and putting no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Amen. Now therefore, why tempt ye God? He put a yoke, that's the law again, he put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they.
Amen.
Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Did you notice how many times we have the word God? This was God working. This was God's work.
Amen.
And God's work was now the preaching of the gospel of the grace of God, and those who would believe it are instantly and forever saved.
Amen.
This was God. When Peter came back to Jerusalem and they start getting around him, he says, "What am I to withstand God?" And many people today are withstanding God. They're trying to withstand God. God has a purpose. God has a plan. God is doing something this very day. And people are just like back then, they're trying to withstand the very purpose of God. But they never will. But they're trying to withstand the purpose of God. They're not going according to His counselors. Well, I'm giving that as background. In other words here, the question comes, is a man saved by keeping the law or by believing the gospel? And the answer to that question is very easily seen if you read verses 7 through 11. It's simply by believing the gospel.
Amen.
These Gentiles heard the gospel, it says. It said they believed, and what happened? They got the Holy Ghost, their hearts were purified by faith, and the Bible says they were saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
A man is saved by believing the gospel, the grace of God, that Jesus Christ died for his sins according to Scriptures, that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to Scriptures, nothing else added to it.
Amen.
You believe that message?
Amen.
You put yourself in that message, and I want you to know that my Bible tells me, thou shalt be saved. Amen. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's sufficient. That is sufficient. So we find out here that salvation is by grace through faith without the deeds of the law.
Amen.
We got that established. We got that established, okay? This is the work of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God's work now is grace. And it's centered in the person of Christ and His
Amen.
Work at Calvary. And it's appropriated by faith in Him.
Amen.
It's made a part of, it's made good for you when you put your faith in Him who died in, for you, the ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly, and He justifies the ungodly by those who put their faith in Him. Alright, so we got that established. That's a background. Now I'm going to talk about what's the purpose of God. What is the purpose of God? I realize it's hot this night, and if it gets too hot, somebody please open up that door.
Air conditioner's on, you just preach it hard.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Alrighty. And after they had their peace, James answered the same. Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Now, I'm going to give you, here's my text tonight. This is one of my texts. Hearken unto me. Simon hath declared how God, I want you to notice God again. Yeah. Simon hath declared how God, at the first did visit the Gentiles, to take out of them a people for his name.
Amen.
And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return, and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. Now he's going to tell, what is God doing? And the Bible says, what is the purpose of God in this age? What is the purpose of God? And here in this verse, you're going to see it. The purpose of what God is doing is He's taking out a people.
Amen.
From amongst the Gentiles for His name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
And He says, after this, when every one of those last Gentiles that is going to be saved, when the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, then the blindness of Israel be taken away, and all Israel shall be saved. He's talking about Israel as a nation. The Gentiles coming in to be saved, does that nullify the promises of God to Israel? No. But he's saying right now, God's working, God's purpose, what God's doing, He's taking out a people for His name. And when every one of those last ones are taken out for His name, then He says, I will return.
Amen.
What is God doing? What is God involved in this time? Is He involved in politics? I believe that God definitely he has the heart of the king in His hand. He can turn it whichever way He wants. I believe that God is definitely ruling over the nations of the world in that sense. But listen, I want you to understand. I believe the main thing that God is doing, and if you're not involved in it, is He's taking out a people for His name.
Amen. That's right.
He's taking out a people for his name. Amen. That's what he's doing at this time. Amen. If you're not involved in that work, my friend, you're not involved in the work of God in this age.
That's right.
That's what God's doing. That's the whole purpose of this church age. This is what he's trying to thrust out as what he wants to do and he will accomplish.
Amen.
He's going to go and take out a people for his name.
Amen.
For his glory. According to his purpose. He's taking out a people for his name's sake. As the future, Israel will be saved. But as to right now, what God is doing, he's taking out a people. Mainly amongst the Gentiles for his name. There are Jews getting saved. But then Israel as a nation will not be restored until Jesus Christ comes back. When they look upon him whom they've pierced. And then they'll mourn with sorrow and come to him. But before that time, there are very few Jews will be saved. Blindness has come to Israel. But there are Jews being saved. And don't you ever stop from witnessing to a Jew. You tell him about Jesus Christ and he needs the Messiah. He needs the Son of God. He needs the Savior of the world, the Redeemer of all men. He needs the Redeemer of those who come and believe on him. They need him.
Amen.
All right? But as of right now, the main thing what God is mainly taking out is Gentiles. The majority of the church of God today is Gentiles. Those who are not Jews. If you don't know what I mean as a Gentile, somebody's not a Jew. All right. So we got that established. We got that established, I hope. Now, where the gospel has ever gone, not all were converted. I want you to understand, we're not going to convert the world with the gospel.
That's right.
That's not God's purpose. God says he'll take out a people for his name. He didn't say he's going to take out everybody for his name. It's a people.
That's right.
God's going to take out a people for his name.
Amen.
Wherever the gospel has gone, it didn't convert everyone, but it did convert some.
Amen.
Amen.
It did convert some.
Praise the Lord.
And God wants his gospel to go in all the world. And as that gospel goes out, he'll take out some for his name.
Amen.
He'll take out some for his name's sake. But then the question comes, I just want to ask this question before we go on to the next point. Either a Christian, are you consumed by your problems or by your purpose? A Christian is either consumed by his problems or by his purpose. Most Christians I know are in those two categories. He's either being consumed by his problems or he's consumed by the purpose. And the purpose that a Christian needs to be consumed with is the purpose of God. And what is the purpose of God in this time period? To take out a people for his name's sake. But how is God going to carry out that purpose? That's the question. Now God's going to do it. He says, I will build my church.
Amen.
I know a lot of people, they said, a lot of people got it wrong. You know, they think, well, I mean, we are involved in the work. But I want you to know, Jesus Christ, we're on the winning side. We are on the winning side. He says, I will build my church. Listen, either you get involved and get in on the blessings, or you don't get involved and Jesus Christ get the work done anyway without you.
That's right.
It's not that Jesus Christ needs you. Jesus Christ wants you to get involved in the work. Jesus Christ will for you to get in the work. But if you refuse to get in that work, to carry out that purpose, then my friend, he'll just use somebody else.
That's right.
He says, I will build my church.
Amen.
He is going to take out a people for his name's sake.
Amen.
But how is he going to fulfill this purpose? And that's my next point. What is the plan of God? The plan of God to carry out the purpose of God. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, a very well-known verse. Probably said over and over again during the mission conference, but a very important verse. And one that we need to be brought into remembrance time and time again. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
The way that God is going to carry out his purpose is by this plan.
Amen.
The plan of God to carry out the purpose of God is to go in all the world. Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
Now I don't believe this is an option to be considered.
That's right.
What I've just read to you, if you are a born-again Christian, if you have believed that gospel, the grace of God, what we were just reading about over there in Acts, you believe the gospel, you are saved. You will know Christ as your Savior. Then I want you to know that Jesus Christ has a command to be obeyed.
Amen.
It's not an option to be considered or decided upon.
Right.
It's a command to be obeyed, and either you will obey it, or either you'll disobey it.
Right.
Either you'll obey it and you'll get reward, or you'll disobey it and you'll suffer loss. It's one of the two. And there's no middle ground with God, and I thank God for it.
Amen.
I thank God we don't have to stand a middle ground and be a fence worm. I thank God that God is, it's black or white with God. It's right or left. It's right or wrong. And with God, it's truth. And that's what counts as truth. And this is the truth of God this night, to go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen. That's what God's involved in this now.
I want you to know that's what God is involved in this right now. The main work of God in this day and age that we live in, the day of the grace of God, is to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's world evangelization. It's meeting people with the gospel of Christ and Jesus and God himself taking out a people for his name, those who believe that gospel.
Amen.
If you are not in this plan, then there is no way involved in the purpose of God. God is carrying out this purpose, and the way he carries it out is by this plan here. Now, what's he say? What's he say here? He says, go. Here's the command. Here's the first essential of this plan. Go. Go. Let me ask you a question. Are you going? The problem with the church, much of the problem with the church tonight is we're sitting.
That's right.
And we're not going.
Amen.
Much of the problem. But God's command, Jesus Christ's command himself, who is speaking these words, God manifest in the flesh, who he is. He says, go, go. Much of the church today is like those lepers. They says, why sit we here lest we die in 2 Kings?
That's right.
And most of the church is sitting around today and they're dying off. They're not getting the work done. And the way to get the work done, the way to carry out the purpose of God, then what we have to follow this plan, and it's to go. That's the first essential in this plan. You need to go. The Bible says over here in Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go. The Bible says over there in Luke 14:23, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in.
Amen.
The Bible says over there in Psalm 126:6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. He that goeth. That's what God's trying to get across to us tonight. God's been trying to get that across to us this whole mission conference. Go! But then the question comes, who goes? And I want you to notice the next part. Go ye. Go ye means you. Are you going? He says, go ye. Who is that? It's you. I really believe that we'll never get away. We shall never get away from the spiritual foot soldier.
That's right. Amen.
I don't ever believe we'll ever get away from the spiritual foot soldier.
That's right.
God's purpose, God's plan here is that ye go.
Amen.
Go ye. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, we're in a terrible time in some ways because there's many draft dodgers. I mean, I know the president thinks he's had many draft dodgers. The United States. When we had to go to Vietnam, we had thousands went across the lines up into Canada. Thousands of draft dodgers. But I don't think that compares in any way with the draft dodgers we've had.
Amen.
As the Jesus Christ army. If you're a Christian, if you're saved, you're in the army.
Right, amen.
You've been drafted.
Amen.
I know a lot of people try to get out of the draft now. I know a lot of people go down there and they fill themselves up with soda and try to get the high blood pressure up and they step in there for examination and they hope they're going to be one of the exemptions. But I want you to understand something. There is no exemptions in the army of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you're saved, you're to go.
Amen.
Go ye. That means you. You're to go. And we never shall get away from go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Me as an individual taking the gospel to other individuals.
That's right. Amen.
We shall never get away from that. That is God's best and only real way, in a sense, what I'm saying, of getting the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
One of the things we have here is we have newspaper evangelism. You'll notice that we have $2,730.99 for newspaper evangelism. Maybe by the grace of God, it'd be God's will, we'd like to give more.
Amen.
But I thank God for the figure above that, because that went to individuals who individually take the gospel to other individuals.
Amen.
And sit down there face to face, eyeball to eyeball, hand to hand, and show them what God's word says. And they have the Spirit of God that teaches them all things, and they'll be able to explain to them. We shall never get away from the spiritual foot soldier.
Amen.
We can put in newspaper evangelism. Now we got to. We'll reach some that way. We can get the gospel on television. That's fine. We can get the gospel on the radio. That's okay too. Get it out. But we shall never get away from the spiritual foot soldier of one of us, any of us,
Amen.
Those who go, those who volunteer, those who are called to go in all the world to take that gospel and present it and preach it and tell it to other creatures.
That's right.
We shall never get away from that.
Amen.
I mean, we are in an army. And I tell you what, if we're in an army, we got to obey the commander. We got to follow his orders. We got to follow his leading. And the thing of it is, we are not. Many of us are. There are some that are.
I mean, one time, I know my daddy told me about a man he knew, and his name was Bootsy. This is an old man, about 70-something. He's died. He's already died. But the Bootsy was in World War I, and they was down in those trenches. And they'd be down in those trenches, and all at once, they get the order, over the top. Now, I don't know if you know much about, a little bit about history. I don't know a whole lot about history. But I'll tell you one thing, they had to go up over those trenches and out onto the open field and run across to try to get captured out of their trench.
That's right.
And all at once that commander would be in there and he'd say, go. And all at once, and you were standing there, listen, you didn't stay. You didn't stay or somebody might just turn around and shoot you. Somebody's turn around, why sit we here unless we die? You'll die. it's one way or the other. But anyway, up over that trench they went. And they start running, boy. And he says he'd be running. He'd be running through that thing, and all once they'd be shooting, and the guy'd be falling next to him, and all once his friend would be running. He says, I'm next. But I tell you what, over the top he went, down in the other ditch, and they captured the other ditch. And they kept going like that. And he was alive. He lived through World War I. Listen, there's gonna be casualties. There's gonna be people who get shot down. But listen, all orders is to go forward, to go on, to prevail against the gates of hell, to go with the gospel, and preach it to every creature.
Amen.
That's what he's saying. That's what we need to do. We need to get up over the trench and run! Fall down!
Boy. You better fall down.
We need to go preach the gospel.
Amen.
We need to go up over those trenches.
Amen.
When the commander said up and go, we need to take off.
Amen.
And we need to go with bayonet forward, and helmets on, and breastplates on, and sword in hand, and the feet shod, and the loins girt about. The loins girt about. We need to go on.
Amen.
Up over the trench, and onward in the battle.
Amen.
We need to go on. I think of Andrew. Andrew was... Bible talks about in John chapter 1, Andrew, he brought Peter to Christ, his own brother. Then we're told in that same chapter that Philip, what did Philip do? He brought Nathanael to Christ. And over there in Acts chapter 8, we find Philip preaching. Tremendous meetings, tremendous things going on down in Acts. That so-called meeting like this. But many were getting saved and God takes them out and puts them in the desert. And there's a man who has the scriptures. And he's reading those scriptures. But you know what he says? Understandest what thou readest? Understand thou what thou readest? Philip said to him, you know that man said? That man said, and he said, how can I except some man should guide me? You know how most people get saved? By you or me taking the gospel.
Amen.
And usually, most of the time, on an individual presentation, presenting them with the gospel.
Amen. That's right.
Most people get saved like that.
That's right.
Out of all the newspaper evangelism we put out, we'll never, never touch what has been done by personal witness. Never. Because that's God's plan. Go ye. It's a very individual thing. I believe we should, in newspaper evangelism, I believe we should continue on. Don't misunderstand me. But I think our main thrust is getting individuals.
Amen.
Out. Many times, I bet you in newspaper evangelism, some read it and they understand and believe. Thank God we'll find out when we get to heaven. But I bet a lot read that and they say, how can I understand unless some man guide me? Who are those men? The men who the Spirit of God is indwelling.
Amen.
Who teaches them all things. Those men can get down eyeball to eyeball and open up the scripture and say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know what that means, you? That he gave his only begotten son. You know he did that for you. And whosoever believeth in him, can you put your name in there? Should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
Individuals taking the gospel to individuals. Preaching on street corners, preaching with films, taking it into doorways, wherever it goes, but individuals taking it to individuals and presenting that gospel. Go ye is the command into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There's a man by the name of John Vassar. Some of you know him. I don't know if I'm saying his name right, but he used to call himself the Lord's Shepherd Dog. The Lord's Shepherd Dog. He was never got behind a pulpit and preached, but he was just the Lord's Shepherd Dog. And the Lord said, giddy up. Go. He'd go. And he won thousands of Jesus Christ just by personal witness. By going up and meeting them eyeball to eyeball and taking them and saying, here's what God's word says you need to be saved. And he won thousands. He probably won more souls to Jesus Christ than many ministers or most ministers ever will behind a pulpit. He won thousands. Personal. Individual. Ye. Him. Taking the gospel to every creature to them. That's what he did. But where's the scope? How far do we have to go with this message? In all the world. We can't get out of that. Much ministry today is centered right here. But God's is the world.
Amen.
Dotson Trotman, who began the Navigators, made this statement. He says, world vision is getting on your heart what's on the heart of God. I like that statement. World vision is getting on your heart what's on the heart of God. I want to ask you this night. Is the world your vision? Is the world upon your heart? Are you seeking to get the gospel into the world? Go ye into all the world. That's the scope. Go ye into all the world. That's the place. Go ye into all the world and preach that gospel to every creature. The Bible tells us in Matthew 28, go ye therefore and teach all nations. The Bible says in Luke 24:47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations beginning at Jerusalem. The Bible says over there in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Where does God want to get this message? To the world. To the world. What's the method? What's the method he's going to use to get this, to get this job done? And preach. I like that. And preach. We have many, many methods, man methods, you know, to try to get this work of world evangelization done. But you'll never improve on the plan of God.
Amen.
Go ye in all the world and preach. And preach. Not just example. I mean, we should live good lives. I mean, be holy because the Lord's holy. I mean, be holy. Live a good, clean life. Live an honest life. Live an upright life. But I want you to know that no man will get saved by your example.
That's right.
They get saved by hearing the word of God being preached.
Amen.
And I ain't just talking about me as a preacher standing behind a pulpit preaching a congregation. I'm just talking about us as individuals and taking it to the doorsteps or taking it down in the street corners or taking it wherever you go, taking it at work, taking it at school and telling and talking to individuals and saying, you must be saved. You need to be born again. Jesus Christ is the only way. Believe on him. He's paid it all.
Amen.
I tell you what, it's preach. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. It's the preach. A lot of people say, I don't like those preachers. That's all right. It pleased God.
Amen.
It's pleased God to preach.
Amen.
And it's by the foolishness of preaching. Some of you people say, oh, you get foolish about preaching. I mean, you get up there jumping. Maybe I do. Maybe I'll make a fool of myself sometimes. But I'll make a fool of myself by the grace of God for Jesus.
Amen.
And I want to tell you something. It's by the foolishness of preaching. Some of you think he's a crazy preacher this night. He's that guy's out of his mind. But I want you to know by the grace of God, by his power, by his strength, I'm going to preach.
Amen.
And I'm going to preach the gospel and those who believe are going to be saved.
Amen.
And I'm going to thank God for it. It's by preaching. The message that God's using is to preach.
Amen.
And you need to be preaching. You need to be preachers.
Amen.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon one time said, he said, after he got done preaching, he would stand in the back there many times and people would come through and he would sing them and they'd say, oh, tremendous message. Tremendous message. And he went back down before the Lord then and he would cry before the Lord because he believed he failed the Lord. He failed the Lord because they weren't talking about the Lord. They weren't talking about him. You know, he felt he failed the Lord, but there was no man, not very many men could ever match the preaching of Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
Amen.
The man was a preacher. He was a preacher on the streets, and he was a preacher behind the pulpit. He won thousands to Jesus Christ. He used the right method. You know, brethren, we need to use the right method. You know what it is? Preach.
Amen.
People say, that's too simple, just like salvation. All you gotta do is believe. That's right. All you gotta do is preach. That's it. Go preach. And it'll save the ones who believe.
Amen.
That's it.
Amen.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you, we need to get dedicated. We need to get consecrated. We need to get the timing in this job. We need to be like a preacher one time. He was standing there ready to preach and a soldier came up and he got that gun and he put it right on his skull. And he says, preacher, he says, if you preach, I'll blow your head off. And that preacher said the word of God. He said, soldier, he said, do your duty. And I'll do mine.
Amen.
And he went on and preached. We need those kind of men. We need men who preach. When George Whitfield got up and he preached, a man got behind him and said, I'll blow your head off. You better stop preaching. He kept preaching. He said, I'm telling you to stop preaching. He got on one side. He said, I'm preaching. And he got on the other side. He got, and about 15 minutes this was going on. And all at once he got behind George Whitfield with that old sawed-off gun there. And he pointed at George Whitfield's back. And George Whitfield was up there preaching. And all at once he let go of that trigger. And that gun blasted. And all at once George Whitfield's shirt blew off his back. And all at once that gun blew up in that guy's head and cut into shreds. And Whitfield kept preaching. We need some preachers of God like that. We need some men who are determined no matter what the cost, they'll preach.
Amen.
We need some John Bunyan that says when stop preaching on those creek corners, he said, God, call me, and I'm going to keep preaching. We need some men of God that'll preach and with conviction and Holy Ghost power.
Amen.
Men that'll preach. They'll preach. I'm on my last sheet.
Amen.
The last side.
Amen.
I don't say I meet up to that. But I know what we need. We need some preachers.
That's right.
We need men who will follow that method to preach.
Amen.
And they ain't just getting behind a pulpit. You can be a preacher. Woman, man, be a preacher. Are you a preacher? Get with people and talk to them about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Be a preacher.
Amen.
Let God make you a preacher.
Amen.
Use God's method. Preach.
Amen.
Oh, we give out thousands. I ain't asking about how many gospel tracts. Give them out. Give them out by the thousands. But are you preaching?
Amen.
Are you preaching? By opening up your mouth for Jesus Christ. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings. Thou hast perfected praise. Open up your mouth for Jesus Christ and He'll fill it wide. Speak for His glory. God will bless you.
Amen.
Well, what's the message we're to preach? And preach the gospel. That's only two little words. The gospel. You know, man's so sophisticated today, he don't know what he knows. Isn't that true?
Right.
I mean, you get in there and you get some of those educated professors and you start talking to them. I was with a philosophy one time. I was over in Germany. I thought, well, I'll take a class. What to take? I seen a philosophy class. It's philosophy. Well, I'll go on. So I went on and listened to this guy. And here was this guy. I walked in and he had a big old beard and stuff. And he was sitting there, you know, skinny guy. Just, I don't know where he was at. But when I came in, we started talking. And we got into class. Then we all huddled around. He began talking. And all at once he says, you know what the biggest problem of modern philosophy today is? I lifted up my ears. I said, what's the biggest problem of modern philosophy today? He said, the biggest problem of modern philosophy today is, what is modern philosophy? He says, men get around for hours, and discuss and argue what is modern philosophy. And here's a guy with a doctor degree, or going for a doctor degree, and he was teaching modern philosophy. That was my first class and my last class. No more modern philosophy for me. I want to know what you know. I want to know where you stand. I mean, they're all absolute. God's absolute. His word's absolute.
Amen.
Don't buy it. Stand on it. Preach it. Believe it. Eat it.
Amen.
Go by the word of God. I hope I didn't ruin my Bible. All right. It's all right. All right. Listen, we need to go and preach the gospel. It's the greatest message the world has ever heard or ever will hear.
Amen.
The Bible says that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. There is not another power whereby we can be saved. It's by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And those who believe, I don't care if you're a derelict, I don't care if you're a bum, I don't care if you're a high educated man, I don't care if you're a nurse, I don't care if you're a housemaid, I don't care who you are, the Bible says if you believe that gospel is the power of God unto salvation, you'll be saved. There's no message in the world. And we need to be excited about that message. We need to be consumed by that message. We need to go out with that message and preach the gospel. Not so much concerned about us, but oh, Christ, hide us behind the cross. And may we preach the gospel. May we understand the gospel. May we believe by the grace of God the gospel.
Amen.
No message like that gospel. Oh, brethren, we need to preach the greatest message the world will ever hear. The only message that'll ever save them. The gospel. The gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And then Peter goes on and says, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The gospel. Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. And he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And my friend whosoever believeth in him should not perish. The gospel message. Then who does it go to? Every creature. The Bible says here to every creature. People have asked, you know, they wonder, is it God's will that the heathen hear? Those in darkest Africa, is it God's will they hear? My Bible says to every creature. They ask, is it God's will to go to Peru? The Bible says to every creature.
Amen.
They say, should we go to the Eskimos or should we leave them alone? The Bible says to every creature, there is no hope outside of the gospel. They are without God, without hope, and my Bible tells me they'll go to a Christless grave and die and go to a place of torment forever and ever. And the smoke of their torment shall rise up forever and ever, and whosoever name was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Brethren, it's to every creature. We need to get that gospel to every creature. We need to realize that man is dying, man is perishing, man is lost, man is depraved. There's no hope outside the gospel for him. And if they don't hear that gospel, if they don't receive that gospel, they will die in their sins and go to hell. We got to realize that there's none righteous, no, not one. We got to believe that. We got to get this gospel down into the deepest depths of every tribe in the world. We need to get this gospel into every place in America. We need to get this gospel into Canada, into China. We need to get the gospel of Jesus Christ to every creature by the grace of God.
Amen.
God's will, God's perfect will, is to every creature. He's already said it. I ain't just saying it. That's what God said. To every creature. To every creature. I want to use an illustration Joe West one time used. He said one time, he said, now I want you to think about this. He said, say there was these men, and Brother Kincaid said, I want the church painted, the church building painted. This isn't the church building. And he said, now I want you to paint it up, and they said, we're going to do a good job on it. And so we've got five men together. We kind of teamed up, me and Billy and the rest of us all here. We got a little team up. And all at once he says, all right, I'm leaving. I'll be back. I'll be back in a couple hours. Now you all do a good job, and we says, well, we'll try. And all at once we get up on that thing, we paint that first coat, we paint that wall over there. We stand back and we say, boy, ain't that pretty. We say, you know what? I think it'll be real nice on that. It's another coat. We paint that wall again. Boy, that's looking better all the time. So all at once we get back there, we see we have enough paint, so we just paint it again. And by the time Brother Kincaid's back, comes back, and we're on our fifth time painting that one wall. We're painting that one wall over and over. And all once we come in, and we just think he's going to be so pleased and so happy with this. And we say, Brother Kincaid, look what we've done. Now you think he's going to be happy? And when he looks it up, when he looks at that with the cans of paint and almost all the paint's gone and you're only on one wall and you paint it five times, you think he's going to be happy? And let me ask you this. You think Jesus Christ is going to be pleased? You think he's going to be pleased when he comes back again and see we paint the wall over and over again of the United States and those in Peru, those in Venezuela, those in Israel, those in the Middle East, those around the world, those in Africa, those in the Philippines haven't heard the message one time. You think he's going to be pleased when he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? I was standing that day there with those disciples, and he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I was standing there, and they said, and all at once I heard somebody say, they're never going to do it. I said, are you crazy? Here's the Lord of glory, Jesus Christ himself, giving this command. They're going to get to every creature. Ain't going to do it. I would have never believed it. Here we are almost 2,000 years later, and the job ain't done. We've been painting the wall over and over again. Over and over again. Michelangelo. And I'm in. I'm up. I'm in. Michelangelo. There he was. There he was. That means 5 minutes. 5 minutes. I got 5 minutes. Michelangelo there. One time when he was painting in Florence. He was painting in Florence there. And as he was painting he was painting this altar. I don't know if you've ever been over there. I was stationed in Europe when I was in a service. And we used to go around these big cathedrals. And right in these cathedrals, they'd have tombs. I mean, actual grave tombs and stuff like that, you know, and you go over and look at these things, you know, you wouldn't believe it, you know, to have the bishops laying there and stuff like this, dead, you know, and I'm sure he's only dust now, but anyway, you know, and so I want you to know, what was I going to say, about Michelangelo, he was painting in one of these places, they have some beautiful things, I mean, they're dead, then I got the gospel, but I mean, as to painting up, you know, and stuff like that, just some beautiful things. And you know, he was painting, you know, in this altar scene. A coffin type of scene, you know. And all at once, he asked the ones at the morgue there, the mortuary, he says, can I have a few freshly dead bodies? And I knew a guy back home, boy, he was something else. I ain't gonna get him tonight. But he was the undertaker back there. White as a ghost, white gloves, boy. He said, hey, no, forget that. And so what I'm saying, Michelangelo was here. And Michelangelo, here he was, and he was painting this guy, and he was painting, and so they finally gave him permission. And they wheeled in, you know, here they wheeled in these dead bodies. And as they have these dead bodies, he was looking at these dead bodies so he can make it as lifelike as possible. This is true. This is true. And he had before him, as he lay there on his back, painting his things, he had before him the faces of these dead people. And brethren, if we're ever going to be passionate preachers, we need to have before us the face, the dead face of mankind. If we're ever going to be the passionate preachers and try to get this job done, we're going to have to be consumed with the purpose of God and realize Amen. The value of a soul.
Amen.
What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Realize the great perishing of a soul. Realize what a soul is in God's eyes. Realize where a soul will go without Jesus Christ. And if we have that picture painted before our eyes, I'll tell you what, it'll develop a passionate preacher.
Amen.
It will develop a passionate preacher. And in ending, 2 minutes, what is the power of God? And I'm just going to have to give this one quick. What's the power of God to get the plan of God done so the purpose of God will be accomplished? What is the power of God? Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
Amen.
And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. God has given us a tremendous, it almost seems an impossible task. When we look at, just like Mexico, you were saying, you look at Mexico and you say, it's absolutely almost impossible. How are we going to reach every one of those? But I want you to know, my friend, this night, my Bible tells me that we have a power. We have the Holy Ghost to accomplish the plan of God. So the purpose of God will be fulfilled. The power of God is the Holy Ghost. Now, every Christian has the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen.
Every Christian has the Holy Ghost. The Bible says you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. You need the Spirit of Christ. And you have them if you're saved. But the whole problem is a lot of us are indwelt by Him, but we're not filled by Him.
Right.
He doesn't have control in our lives. He's not working through us with great power. And the problem is we need to walk in the Spirit. We need to be filled by the Spirit. We need to be doing a job for God in the Spirit of God's power and leading. We need to stop going out and trying to get this job done in the flesh. We'll never get it done. But oh my friend, God has given us everything that's needed to accomplish the job of world evangelization. And that one thing He's given us is the Holy Spirit of God. God Himself indwelling His church to go out with the message of the gospel and preach the word of God to every creature. And my friend, Christ will build His church and He will call out people for His name. And God's purpose will be fulfilled. Are you in the purpose of God? Are you this night in the plan of God? Are you this night walking in the power of God? Is the Spirit of God working? I want you to know, we talk about what we've done. But Church Spurgeon one time says, brethren, we need not speak about what we've done. We need to be going on to do some more.
Amen.
One time
Amen.
A general, there was a guy and he came up to a general, an officer, and he says, we've got two of the cannons. He says, we've got two of the cannons of the enemy. And he says, well done, go get two more.
That's right.
Brethren, we got two cannons, but brethren, we need to go out and get two more.
Amen.
Brother, it's time to get in the purpose of God. It's time to get on the boat and start flowing down the divine counsels of God. It's time, my friend, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If there's ever been a time, it's this time. If there's ever been a place, it's this place. If there's ever going to be a people, by the grace of God, may it be us.
Amen.
And may we go, not in our own strength, but not of power. But by my Spirit, say the Lord, may we go out in power and preach the gospel
Amen.
To every preacher. And those who believe shall be saved.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.